like to start this session. Okay, welcome everybody to this 49th meeting of the Program Advisory Committee for Particle Physics. As usual, we should maybe first go around the table so that everyone can present himself. And let me start by you, Edward. Open the microphone, please.
Sorry, my name is Edward Bose. I'm from Moscow State University Institute of Nuclear Physics. I'm working on theory, phenomenology, and experiments as well in high energy physics.
Okay. My name is Peter Zavada. I am from Institute of Physics in Prague, and my field of interest is phenomenology of spin physics, phenomenology of heavy ion collisions, and so on. Thank you.
I'm Antonio Editato from the University of Bern, and I'm a neutrino physicist.
I'm Hans Gutbrod, heavy ion physicist from GSI Darmstadt, FRC Moscow, still alive, and from MEFI.
My name is John Plemons. I'm from the University of Cape Town in South Africa, and my field is in heavy ion collisions.
Stanislav Dubnička from Slovak Academy of Sciences, Bratislava.
Alexander Sheplakov, Atlas Experiment, your PAC secretary.
Itzhak Tsruya from the Weizmann Institute.
Richard Ludnitsky, Joint Institute.
Viktor Matveev, Joint Institute.
Itkis, Joint Institute.
Boris Sharkov, Joint Institute.
Alexander Sorian, Joint Institute.
Vladimir Kikelidze, Joint Institute for Nuclear Research.
Dmitry Kazakov, Laboratory of Theoretical Physics in General.
Vladimir Korenkov, Laboratory of Information Technology, Joint Institute.
Okay, thank you very much. So we will now start with the agenda as you have it in front of you. The first thing is a short presentation by myself. So, okay, so this is a the short introductory talk, actually to briefly refresh your memory about the things we decided at our last meeting, and trying to bridge the gap with what we are going to discuss today. So the topics I'm going to briefly cover are here in this outline. First, a short summary of the recommendations we made at the last PAC meeting back in January. A short report about the decision of the Scientific Council meeting on February 22-23. I will restrict myself to only those decisions which are relevant to our PAC, some recent developments, and then come finally to the agenda of today. So, on the highlights from the last meeting, starting with NICA, there were two significant milestones on concerning NICA. First one, the successful preparation of the heavy ion source, the cryon 60. There is a regular ongoing commissioning of new equipment, and there we mentioned in particular the light ion LINAC injector called the LU20 and the associated substantial increase in beam intensity that were commissioned recently. Also concerning the NICAP project on itself, there were some significant developments. First of all, there was the forced interruption of the run 55 of the nucleotron that was due to a failure of the superconducting magnet cooling system. The system was quickly repaired, but anyhow, run 55 got interrupted and got rescheduled for February, March of this year. Beams of carbon, argon, and krypton were supposed to be delivered by the cryon ion source and used both by BMA10 and for the short-range correlation measurements, and I will come back again to those things later. As a consequence of all those things, of this delay and the rescheduling of run 55, there was a delay in the installation of the booster that is now was supposed to start after completion of this run, but still be completed on time during 2018, and the first technical run of the booster was is expected by the end of 2018, and I'm sure we will hear how they think is going on. Finally, there was a decision concerning the NICA Center building that you can see here, an artistic design of the building, and there is now a clear roadmap for the civil construction of this system that will be extremely useful for, in particular, for all the external users of the NICA facility. Now, on the MPD, the highlights are the progress in the magnet construction. However, there is a delay in the delivery of the to GINR, and this is due to the fact that the magnet is supposed to be delivered via water through the river, and there is no navigation around the year on the river, so we missed one opportunity, and now the magnet will be produced by the end of November, but the delivery to GINR will be delayed till the spring of 2018. Some delay, but not too bad. The PAC was pleased that the Sampa chip was finally chosen for the TPC front-end electronics, and this now sets the road to complete the design of the TPC, which is the main detector component of the MPD, and should now go full stream in production. The PAC was also very pleased with the participation of the Chinese groups, particularly in the electromagnetic calorimeter construction. The PAC encourages the ICAL team to focus on the optimization of the detector specifications and design in view of finalizing the TDR. The DAC will meet RAC right after this pack, and we hope to hear some update on how this work is ongoing. Now, concerning BMA10, BMA10 is continuously completing its setup, and the pack welcomes the commissioning of the new equipment, and in particular, the use of large area gem tracking detectors. And the PAC still is concerned by the lack of manpower for the analysis of data collected in recent runs, and I will have the opportunity to address this in a few minutes. So here you can see now the setup that was envisioned for the March 2018 run with the heavy ion beams, the argon and the krypton. It includes 7 planes of gem detectors, 5 of them big size, and 3 planes of silicon in front of the gem. So this is basically the full front tracking system of BMA10, although I think that in March 2019 it was not yet with the full coverage, but all the elements were there. Now, concerning MPD and BMA10, there were several initiatives that were recently taken by the Laboratory of High Energy Physics. One of them was the plan to hold a 3-day meeting at GINR in April 2018 to officially launch the MPD and the BMA10 international collaborations. This meeting took place, and I will comment on it in a few moments. The other strong initiative that was strongly supported by the PAC was the initiatives to establish a funding program that will attract and support the research conducted at the NICA facility. The idea is mainly to support students and postdocs for a 3-year period through a competitive process according to the scientific merit of the submitted proposals. And I hope we will hear today some update of where the thing is now. So that much for the highlights of the things that we decided at last meeting. As you know, the Scientific Council met in February 2022-23, and among other things discussed also all the issues related to the PAC PP, and I will very briefly go through the recommendations or the decisions of the Scientific Council. First, some general considerations. The Scientific Council is pleased to note the successful development of the GINR research infrastructure, including the NICA mega project, the factory for super heavy elements, and the IBR2 spectrometer complex. The Scientific Council is also pleased to know that the international visibility of GINR and its flagship project is ramping up. The NICA project has already been included in the S3 roadmap and in the NUPEC long-range plan, and every effort should be made in order for it to become also part of the European strategy for particle physics. Also, on the general consideration, the Scientific Council reiterates its recommendation that the ongoing and recently planned neutrino experiments be presented and discussed within a joint meeting of the two PACs, leading to a more coordinated neutrino physics program and therefore allowing implementations of priorities in a more concerted and efficient way. As you may remember, we discussed several times in this pack and made the recommendation that all the neutrino experiments should be discussed within one pack or by a joint meeting of the two packs, because the split between two packs is not good in order to have a full picture of the program and to be able to set properly priorities. So this thing was reiterated at the Scientific Council last time. Now, on the Scientific Council recommendations concerning the NICA project, I will go through it very briefly because it matches one by one all our recommendations. They were very pleased with the successful operation of the Cryon 60 heavy ion source and with the commission of the accelerator, the linear accelerator LU20. They were aware of the force interruption of the run 55 and appreciate the rapid restoration and repair work that was undertaken. The Scientific Council recognized the steady progress in developing the instructure elements, and in particular they mentioned the booster synchrotron and the roadmap for the construction of the NICA Center building. Concerning our own recommendations, the PAC was very pleased to hear about the three-day meeting to launch the MPD and the BMTN collaborations, and also strongly encouraged the initiative to establish a grant program to attract and support research conducted at the NICA facility. The scientific also endorsed the efforts being taken by GINR and the Laboratory of High Energy Physics to strengthen the participation of China in the construction of the electromagnetic calorimeter for the MPD. Scientific Council appreciated the advance in the magnet constructions, and they also were very pleased with the progress on the BMA-10, the use of the large M area detectors, and they also share our concern about lack of manpower. So, as you see, it's one by one endorsing our recommendations. This goes on for the approval of new projects. They endorse all of them as we outlined in our recommendations. In particular, they were pleased with the establishment, the plan for establishing the SPD collaboration and the preparation of the CDR for the SPD detector that is expected at the next PAC meeting in January 2019. They support the continuation of the general participation in the upgrade of the ATLAS and CMS detectors. And concerning the evaluation of the Borexino-SOX dark side project, you remember there was a big story there because they tried to put three projects in one. We split these in three and we made separate recommendation on each three aspects of the project. The Scientific Council support our approach in evaluating this thing. We also asked this group to come back to us with following those recommendations, but apparently they chose not to do this, at least this time. So it's just up to them to decide whether they want to come next time or not. Now, there were, from the last PAC and the last Scientific Council up to now, there were some significant development that will form the core of what we are going to discuss today. Let me mention the very successful Nucleotron Run 55 that, as I mentioned, took place in February and March. And we are now looking forward to the presentation of Strokovsky on the machine performance, on Kapishin on the BMA-10 performance, and from Piasecki on the first short-range correlation measurement. The second big development was that this meeting, three-day meeting, did indeed took place at GINR in April 11 to 13. To officially launch the BMA-10 collaboration. This was a very successful meeting. We had over 200 participants and many newcomers. So I think that all those newcomers will jump into the MPD and BMA-10 and will contribute to solve this acute problem of manpower that has been repeatedly mentioned. During that meeting, the institutional board was formed, bylaws were adopted, together with a clear roadmap for the establishment of the structure and management teams for the MPD and the BMA-10 collaboration. And this management team will hopefully be established at the second collaboration meeting that is now scheduled for end of October. So by the end of October, we should have spokesperson elections for MPD, BM Aten, and also chairperson elections for the two collaborations. Vladimir Kekelice will make a more detailed report about this first collaboration meeting, and we look forward to his presentation. So this brings me to the agenda of today. We have a quite packed agenda. I'm not going through all the items listed here. You have them in front of you. I will just summarize them with the most important items. And these are the update on the NICA, MPD, and BM-ATEN. The report that I just mentioned a minute ago from Vladimir Kekelice on the first collaboration meeting of the MPD and the BM-ATEN, the report on the Nucleotron Run 55, and then we have a series of almost 10 new projects that are seeking continuation that will make us quite busy to discuss them. So this is the plan of today's work. So thank you very much for your attention. If there are not very urgent questions, we will just start with our program, and we have the opportunity to ask the questions during the day. So now I give the floor to Richard.
Anyone have a question, please?
Sorry? Yes.
Vladimir.
I have one remark concerning the delay of the booster construction. The delay with the Run 55 has no direct impact on the delay of the booster construction. Just a remark.
Yeah. Maybe I didn't say that properly, but I said that it will be still, the test will take place at the end of 2018. Yeah. So now I give the floor to Richard that will give us a detailed report about the decision of the last scientific council and committee of plenipotentiary. Sure. Not take it with me.
Thanks. Good morning, everybody. Dear members of the Program Advisory Committee, dear colleagues and guests, I will give a short report about the last sessions of Scientific Council and Committee of Plenipotentiaries. So 123rd session of Joint Institute Scientific Council took place in February this year. It was chaired by the director of Joint Institute, Viktor Matveev, and co-chaired by Professor Michail Veligorsky from Krakow, Poland. So the agenda included the director's report, scientific reports, recommendation of the program advisory committees, membership of these committees, activities of NUPEC and its long-range plan in nuclear physics, reports by young scientists as recommended by the program advisory committees, elections, appointments, and announcement of vacancies of positions in directorates of joint institute laboratories, and finally, awards and prizes. In general considerations, Scientific Council congratulated the director of the institute for his excellent report presenting the recent highlights in the activities of joint institute in the context of the world's fundamental nuclear physics science, and covering the decisions of the latest session of Joint Institute Committee of Plenipotentiaries in November 2017. Further results of implementations of the Joint Institute Scientific Program in the first year of the new seven-year plan, and major events in Joint Institute, international cooperation, and some organizational issues. Scientific Council was impressed by the wealth of high-quality physics results obtained by the Institute scientists at home facilities of the Institute, as well as at external accelerators, reactors, and in various collaborations. The Scientific Council was pleased to note the successful development of the research infrastructure, including the NICA megaproject, the Factory of Superheavy Elements, and the IBR2 spectrometer complex, and highly appreciated the efforts undertaken by the directorates and staff towards achieving the important milestones of constructing and upgrading these facilities. Then there is some information which was already covered by Itzhak. Scientific Council was pleased to note the international visibility of Joint Institute and of its flagship project in ramping up. The NICA project has already been included in the S3 roadmap and in NUPEC long-range plan, and every effort should be made in order for it to become also part of the European strategy for particle physics. Synthesis of super heavy elements by Joint Institute is world-leading program, and IBR2 is part of the European neutron roadmap. Neutrino research projects at the Kalining nuclear power plant and at Lake Baikal are also flagship programs and should be on the APEC roadmap. The Scientific Council supported the trend, this trend, and highly appreciated the Directorate's attention to the advice given by Scientific Council on the integration of these facilities into the European and global research infrastructure landscapes. The Scientific Council took note of the meeting of Supervisory Board of the NICA Complex project held on 2nd of February this year and its recommendations on the NICA development program for the next several years, on the structure of its management bodies, on its financial support, on its research program, and on the civil construction of the NICA complex. The Scientific Council expects that the first phase envisaging construction of the super heavy element factory will be completed in July 2018 and that the first experiments will begin in October-November this year, according to the timeline of commissioning this important complex as presented at the previous session of the Scientific Council. The Council took note of the 10th meeting of the Group of Senior Officials on Global Research Infrastructures, which was held at Joint Institute on 9 to 12 October 2017, and underlined the importance of equating its participants with the largest facilities of the Joint Institute research infrastructure. The Scientific Council noted with great satisfaction the decision of the UN General Assembly to proclaim 2019 as the International Year of the Periodic Table of Chemical Elements, and looks forward to the active participation of the Institute, which gave outstanding contributions to the discovery of new superheavy elements in these celebrations, including those planned by UNESCO. Concerning cooperation with National Synchrotron Radiation Center SOLARIS of Jagiellonian University in Krakow, the Scientific Council took note of the reports SOLCRIS, new laboratory for structural research at the Polish Synchrotron SOLARIS, proposed concept and complementarity between neutron and synchrotron X-ray scattering, the potential of the synergy between IBR2 and SOLARIS, presented by SOLARIS and FNLP Director Stankiewicz and Shvetsov. The Scientific Council considered fruitful the idea of building a laboratory for structural research of macromolecules and new materials belonging to Joint Institute in one of its member states, Poland, using its high-tech national research infrastructure. It supported this plan of Joint Institute and of the Jagiellonian University, which would strengthen their experimental capabilities in solid-state physics and biology, and encourage them to develop a detailed project with planned research program which should take into account the world's cooperation in the use of synchrotron radiation. For the next session, the Scientific Council invited a detailed consent report for the new laboratory agreed upon the two sides. The Scientific Council took note of the report Status and Future Development of the Laboratory of Information Technology presented by Vladimir Korenkov, noting with satisfaction the comprehensive efforts being undertaken toward developing information technology at the Joint Institute. The Scientific Council welcomed the activities on the project of the Multifunctional Information and Computing Complex, aimed at further development of the network and computing infrastructure for scientific research underway at Joint Institute and its member states, in accordance with the 7-year plan for the development of Joint Institute. The Scientific Council supported the development of high-performance computing, new architectures and principles of the organization of computations leading to innovative changes in the research strategy and noted the key basis of the scientific information technology ecosystem, which is a distributed software configured HPC platform which combines supercomputer, grid and cloud technologies. The Scientific Council noted with satisfaction the efforts aimed at developing new and upgrading existing algorithms for track recognition and reconstruction based on the principles of machine learning, which allow improvement of experimental data processing. The Council welcomed the active participation of laboratory in implementing the priority task of Joint Institute and its member states, in particular those related to the NICA mega project. The Council recommended that the Joint Institute and lead directorates pay particular attention to the comprehensive development and improvement of the entire information technology ecosystem at Joint Institute, which contributes to refining scientific research, accelerating the production of results and new scientific knowledge, increasing management efficiency, singling out new forms of education, improving communication and interaction between scientists, and ensuring access to a wider range of information. Concerning activities of NUPEC and its long-range plan in nuclear physics, the Scientific Council heard two invited reports concerning the activities of the Nuclear Physics European Collaboration Committee and its long-range plan, Perspectives in Nuclear Physics, presented by the former and current chairpersons of this committee, Professors Bracco and Levitovich. The progress of preparation of the NUPEC long-range plan has involved efforts from 200 physicists from the nuclear physics community and from all NUPEC members. The future of facilities is well presented in the plan, with particular focus on FAIR, ISOL facilities, ELI, NICA and Super Heavy Element Factory, as well as the recommendations concerning the nuclear physics science to be addressed at these facilities. In particular, the plan highlights the importance of the NICA and Super Heavy Element Factory projects on the European roadmap for nuclear physics. In addition, the role of theory, applications, R&D for future projects, and of the education of young scientists is emphasized. As a member of NUPEC, Joint Institute has actively participated in the elaboration of the long-range plan and will be one of the major driving forces in its implementation phase. Realization of this plan of the European and international levels proposed by NUPEC is coherent with the 7-year plan for the development of Joint Institute and should tighten the links between Joint Institute and the entire nuclear physics community in Europe. The Scientific Council concurred with the recommendation on issues of particle physics, nuclear physics, neutrino physics and condensed matter physics taken by the program advisory committees at their meetings in January-February 2018, as reported by the representative of this committee, Professor Tseruya, Levitovich and Alexeyev. The Scientific Council proposed that the Joint Institute Directorate should take into account these recommendations in preparing the Joint Institute Topical Plan of Research and International Cooperation in 2019. Membership of the PAC, as proposed by the Directorate, the Scientific Council appointed Professor Mai and Nesvizhevsky as new members of the Program Advisory Committee for Nuclear Physics, each for a term of 3 years. The Scientific Council appreciated the following reports by young scientists, which were selected by the PACs for presentation at this session. Sensitive neutron detection method using iodine-containing scintillators and limit on the effective magnetic moment of solar neutrinos using Porexino data. The Scientific Council thanks the speakers Ponomariov and Vishneva and welcomes similar reports in the future. Concerning prizes and awards, the Scientific Council approved the jury's recommendation on the award of Bruno Pontecorvo Prize to Professors Fogli and Lisi from Bari in Italy. for their pioneering contribution to the development of global analysis of neutrino oscillation data from different experiments. It also approved the jury's recommendation on the award of joint institute annual prizes. Concerning election, the Scientific Council elected Viktor Valery Shvetsov as director of the Frank Laboratory of Neutron Physics and Vladimir Korenkov as director of the Laboratory of Information Technologies, each for a second term of 5 years. Concerning appointments and announcement of vacancies in the directories of the laboratories, the Scientific Council endorsed the appointment of Antonienko, Hnatic and Isayev as deputy directors of the Bogolyubov Laboratory of Theoretical Physics until the completion of the term of the director of this laboratory, Dmitry Kazakov. The Scientific Council encouraged the announced the vacancies of positions of deputy directors of Frank Laboratory of Neutron Physics and Laboratory of Information Technology. The endorsement of appointments will take place in the next session of Scientific Council. Now, some information about Committee of Plenipotentiary meeting. The regular session was held in 27th of March 2018. It was chaired by the Plenipotentiary of Russian Federation, Grigory Trubnikov. The agenda included, again, director's report, execution of the budget in 2017, draft of the revised budget for the year 2018, results of the meeting of the Finance Committee, proposal of the Finance Committee for the selection of a company for auditing the financial activities of Gen Institute for the year 2017, supercomputer, a state of art project for the development of basic facilities, current work for the development of strategic long-range plan of the Institute, election to membership of the Scientific Council, and endorsement of the appointment or the position of Institute Vice Directors. Concerning the director's report, Scientific Council Committee of Plenipotentiary highly appreciated the director's report, presented a detailed overview of the progress of implementation of high priority projects and their place in the long international programs of fundamental physics research. The committee took note of the recommendations of the 123rd session of Joint Institute Scientific Council, the directorate's information on implementation of the plan of research and international cooperation in 2017 and on the priority activities in the year 2018. The committee recognized the significant amount of high-quality physics results obtained by scientists of the Institute in 2017 at home facilities of the Institute as well at external facilities. The committee welcomed the efforts of Joint Institute Directorate aimed at training scientific and engineering personnel for large high-tech projects of Joint Institute and in member states, as well as toward the development and support of the Institute education activities in general. The committee commended the work done by the Joint Institute Directorate and staff towards developing the Institute research infrastructure, including the NICA megaproject, the Factory of Superheavy Elements and the IBR2 spectrometer complex, as well as the efforts towards achieving important milestones of constructing and upgrading these facilities. The committee noted the significant ramping of the international visibility of Joint Institute and its flagship projects. The committee noted with satisfaction the holding on 26th of March 2018 of the festive meeting dedicated to the 25th anniversary of the accession to the Institute of a group of independent states. The committee also noted the signing of the letter of intent between Joint Institute and the government of the French Republic, which creates conditions for the entry of the French Republic into the states participating in Joint Institute on the basis of government-level cooperation agreements. Based on the results of consideration at the sessions of the PAC for Condensed Matter Physics and of the Scientific Council of Joint Institute, of the initiative of the Directorate and the Republic of Poland about intentions to jointly establish a laboratory for structural research of macromolecules and new materials at the Solaris National Synchrotron Radiation Center of the Jagiellonian University in Krakow. The committee supported the work of the Directorate and of the Republic of Poland for developing a cooperation agreement on the construction and operation of this laboratory. Based on the reports presented by Chief Accountant of Joint Institute Sergei Dotsenko and Mikhail Vasiliev, Deputy Head of the Joint Institute Finance and Economy Office, the committee took note of the information on the execution of the budget in 2017 and approved the revised budget of Joint Institute for the year 2018 with the total income and expenditure amounting to 268.79 million of US dollars. The committee approved the protocol of the meeting of the Finance Committee, which held on 24th March 2018, as presented by Arsen Khvedelidze, Plenipotentiary of Georgia, to Joint Institute. The committee commissioned the Joint Institute Directorate to finalize the or prepare draft of a number of regulatory documents. As proposed by the Finance Committee, the Committee of Planning Potentiary selected the audit company Korsakov & Partners from Moscow as the auditor for the year 2017 and authorized it to conduct an audit for this period. The committee approved the plan for auditing the financial activities as presented by the Directorate. Concerning supercomputer Govoran, the committee appreciated the report about this computer presented by Vladimir Korenkov, Director of Laboratory Information Technology, and also the visit to LIT to participate in the presentation of the supercomputer named after academician Govorun. In view of this, the committee noted the significant progress in developing high-performance computing at Joint Institute required for the radical acceleration of complex theoretical research in hadron matter physics underway at the Laboratory of Theoretical Physics and for enabling the use of newest computing platforms in the NICA project. It welcomed the efforts undertaken by the Laboratory Directorate for the development of information technology at the Institute, amongst others, to support the laboratory's initiative to create a unified cloud infrastructure with the Institute participating countries based on the supercomputer. Concerning the long-range planning, the committee listened to the report presented by Boris Sharkov, Deputy Director of Joint Institute. The committee took note of the activity of the International Working Group for Strategic Long-Range Planning and commissioned the Directorate to regularly inform the committee about the progress of work of this International Working Group. In our agenda, there will be some information about this. Concerning membership of the Scientific Council, based on the proposal election to membership of Joint Institute Scientific Council presented by Alexander Sorin, Chief Scientific Secretary, the committee thanked the members of the Scientific Council for the successful work accomplished during 2013 to 2018, established the maximum composition comprising 50 members of this committee, by open ballot approved the membership of Scientific Council for the new term of 5 years. Concerning appointment of vice directors, as proposed by the director, Viktor Matveev, in his report, endorsement of the appointment positions, the committee endorsed the appointment of Richard Lenitsky as vice director of Joint Institute until the end of 2021, entrusting the leader of the NICA project, Vladimir Kekelidze, to execute partially the powers of Joint Institute vice director until the end of 2021, with the continuation of his work as director of the Wechsler Berlin Laboratory of High Energy Physics, whose term of office expires in September 2019. And it prolonged for 1 year the right granted to the JNR director to extend the term of office or to assign temporary duties of Joint Institute vice directors, including to other persons, until their official approval by the Committee of Plenipotentiaries. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much, Richard. Are there any questions for Richard? Okay, so let's thank him again. We will now move to the presentation. I don't know by whether this is by Nikolai Rusakovich or Rumen Celov, both of them, about the strategic long-range plan of Jayanar. So we will hear all the details first from Nikolai.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, colleagues. Actually, I have not much to say, but still we'll tell you about what is going on over last spring and summer. My first slide is to remind you that in particle physics, in old times, Dubna has been a leader. Very first accelerator for particle physics, very heavy, high energy at that time, about 600 MeV was built up in 49. Then in 57, the biggest, most powerful accelerator in the world was built here, synchrophasotron. Unfortunately, now we are not in the position to say we are biggest and most powerful, but still we would like to continue with particle physics here. You know that by decision or recommendation of the Scientific Council, the Directorate established several subgroups for elaborating a long-range plan for GNR development. And there are, you see, different groups for different fields. On the first place, there is particle physics group. And the composition of each group is basically that we have local conveners to collect things, to make some editorial work and so on, but major part of each group is made from Scientific Council members and some other people. So with this group of four particle physics, we have nine members of the group. Vadim Bednyakov and myself, we are co-chairs in this group. There are also Luisa Cifarelli, Marek Izhabek, Eliezer Rabinovich, and Horst Stocker in this group. And it was discussed and decided by the council that it should be some dedicated sub-group here for neutrino physics and particle physics. This is somehow the well-developed and interesting topic at GNR. After some exchange of opinions and proposal from GNR side to have a working meeting still before the Scientific Council, it was agreed that our first meeting will be held in August 9th in Dubna here to get prepared for the time of the Council when all people here will be available, I hope, and come to the Council. To guarantee that, or to help for the productiveness of this meeting, we, when I say we, I mean always Vadim Bednyakov and myself, we have distributed the text named the Concept of Strategic Plan for GNR Development and distributed it between members of the group, asking them to comment, to criticize, and to contribute somehow further on. And I will show you not all the text, but some basic, probably, things concerning addressing particle physics, because all the text is addressing also other fields of general activities. It's important to say that particle physics, elementary particle physics, is very important issue, not only by itself, but for all other fields of physics developed in our institute, like nuclear physics and radio chemistry and condensed matter and everything. In the most probably clear area of further development of particle physics in GNR is participation in the LHC program. Clearly, LHC, with its upgrades and higher energy, higher luminosity, will continue as the most powerful accelerator in the world. And clearly, we are contributing now and will, I believe, contribute in future. So this is probably the most obvious part of future program for particle physics for next, say, 10 years or so. What next? Clearly, we can dream about having the very powerful facility for particle physics at home, and one cannot exclude such a possibility. So, in principle, we could, it should think about future accelerators here. But it doesn't like very realistic, in fact. And in more realistic case, we have to think about when and how we will contribute to particle physics on some external facilities, either at CERN or China or United States or Japan, because many countries are now planning to build up the very big and very powerful facilities. To us, with my co-author Vadim Bidnyakov, it is more or less clear that we probably should look first to the CERN program. You all know that they are planning to build next circular colliders, future circular collider, and probably we should think deeply about establishing the more, close cooperation with CERN, and probably to think about establishing some kind of joint project on the base of future circular collider. That's one of ideas which is not absolutely obvious, but this is one of our proposals to think about. Clearly, the neutrino and astrophysics is one of key issues here. You all know about Baikal project, which is now developing well, and there are already three clusters in the Baikal Lake, but also Kalinin power plant experiments and all other experiments like Juno, Erika, etc. It should be continued clearly. But what we need to improve here, for example, we need to establish the very close cooperation between cosmic neutrino experiments like IceCube, KM3NET, and Baikal, because now there are the overall intention in the world to make these facilities components of so-called multi-messenger, so to combine them in one cluster, world cluster. Also, we have to think about very large-scale experiment as United States UN, where we are a little bit already participating, but not big scale. And also the SKA facility, which is mostly in South Africa, and it was already proposals here to Dubna in this sense. Finally, we need to continue in fields which are well developed here in the Institute, looking for indirect search for new physics like CP violating kion decays, for example, or muon to electron conversion experiments. We are very dedicated, very complicated, and have started just now, or starting just now. I should say at the end that we still have no any reaction from people from our group, and this is a little bit disturbing me, because we would like to get reaction from everybody. Nevertheless, with some reminders, we hope that we'll get it before the meeting in August. That's it, thank you.
Okay, maybe we hear now the presentation by Rumen, and if there are any questions, we will address to both of them later.
Good morning to everybody. So the second part of the high energy physics working group is a group for relativistic heavy ion and spin physics, and I'd like to stress here that we consider this as part of the high energy physics, not part of the low energy nuclear physics. So just short status report. First, the mandate of the working group, as stipulated by the decision of the Scientific Council and presented in the presentation of our Vice Director Boris Sharkov. You see here three main directions. And first and the last ones, we think are more or less appropriate for the size and timeline of our group, but to formulate a coherent plan of the best way to develop the institute beyond the seven-year plans, I think it's too much for our group, so we don't think we could work on that. In fact, this is a task for the whole Scientific Council, in fact, and Committee of Plenipotentiaries. So, core research areas that will be covered by the International Working Group are listed here. So we are in the number two. So, and what we are going to do in that, there is a working group. So this is the list of the people involved in this group. We had already our first meeting last Friday and decided that the group will be chaired by Vladimir Kekelidze, and I'm a local coordinator for technical work here. So you see 11 people, not so many, but real experts in the field. And in fact, we need more experts, and we seek for more experts to be involved. We have already few names in mind, and we'll approach them to join our group. Then, here in the Laboratory of High Energy Physics, we have developed last year, working essentially from June to December, a local strategy document called Strategic Plan for the Reconstruction and Development of the Basic Facilities. It is in a form of table. This is the core of the document. We have here the seven-year periods, current one, the next, and three more. We have thought that just because up to 2030, what we are going to do is more or less fixed and clear, we should look a bit further, not only up to 2030. And those are the lines of thinking and the lines of strategic developments that we plan to follow. And just few highlights, just because time is pressing, about the NICA accelerator complex. So this seven-year plan, we should finish the design configuration, the basic configuration, and achieve symmetric heavy ion collisions with luminosity 10 to 25th. Symmetric means with the same magnetic rigidity in both NICA rings. Then, in the next seven-year period, we should reach the design luminosity of 10 to 27th, also start running and start performing experiments with polarized proton and deuteron beams with luminosity 10 to 30th around. And then, here, I think we will finish the NICA, the basic NICA scientific program, and then we could think in the next two decades about asymmetric heavy ion collisions with those, with this luminosity and polarized collisions, collisions of polarized beams with the full designed luminosity. And then we are thinking about electron nuclei head-on collisions, which means that we'd like to build electron-ion collider. So this is more in more details the development of our accelerator complex as we see it locally in the lab. But the task of the group will be just to elaborate on this, to say their opinions, and to prepare a final document. So you could see here interesting things that come into mind: accelerating of twisted states and states with large orbital momentum, then intersecting electron-ion beams with a few GeV energy, then maybe based on the electron accelerator, organizing, developing of high energy photon beam, and working in a mode of photon nuclei collisions, which is will be a unique thing in the world in that energy range, in fact. So the tasks of the group are listed here, so along lines I've already mentioned. And who is working on what, on which item? So we have some suggestions here. We discussed this in our meeting last Friday, and you see volunteers are needed in many places. Then, timeline. Next, after the first video meeting, the next meeting in person. So we are not very original. I see other groups plan to meet along the Scientific Council meeting in December. Then we plan that drafts along the lines I've mentioned on my previous slide to be ready by January. Discussion of the drafts, timelines of drafting the final document in another in-person meeting in February, again around the council meeting, and final document to be submitted somewhere middle of the next year to the International Working Group, who should prepare the final document for the Institute. So, in 2030, when we celebrate New Year, we could be in a state of this poor man thinking what to do, but we will have a strategy then that time. Of course, there are some concerns expressed about that we are a small group, the timeline is very aggressive, so much more thinking is needed for a 30-year forecast, which are correct, of course, but this is the state now of the art. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much. So if there are any questions to Nikolai or to Rumen, this is the time to ask. Hans.
On your list of topics which you are preparing, I saw that number four is physics goals, and I would like to see that always number one. Yeah. Here, you have structure okay. of the document. I mean, if at number four comes physics goals, you could say at number four possibilities of all the previous things, but you should be driven by physics goals at the beginning.
Okay, thanks for your suggestion. We will reorder this in our document. This is just a local input. It's not final thing.
Yes, there is love.
Couple of years ago, there was big discussion about the International Linear Collider. As I know, there was group in Dubna elaborating, and there was the plan and the region where it will be. Nobody mentioned more in this discussion. Why?
I believe that this is for Nikolai.
I will try to say something, but okay. Really, we have touched many times the possibility of building a linear collider near Dubna. But today it looks not realistic. I think that despite of the fact that there are a number of people here in the institute thinking about that and doing some investigation on the accelerator techniques concerning the collider and so on, today we are not thinking about the collider here.
Can I add something about to answer this question? In the list of topics set for the whole institute group here listed, there is one missing thing. This is my personal opinion, that development of accelerator physics, this should be added maybe in this list, and that topic, International Linux Collider, should belong to this task.
Hans?
Short note, I was at the kickoff meeting of the Future Circular Collider at CERN. I was really impressed the vigor and the force of preparation for this project and the enthusiasm of the people. And it's also 100 kilometers, and a linear collider is also 100 kilometers. So the other one gives a possibility of 4 or 5 experiments. And don't forget, you have 10,000 high-energy physicists. And if you crowd them on one experiment, it's too much a crowd. But if you have your 4, you have much more flexibility. So it was so convincing, so I hope that they don't have showstoppers, because much has to be solved as problems. But the enthusiasm is great, but still I think it's correct that Jinnah should be part of that endeavor, and I think what I heard is a very good approach to make a clear-cut agreement with CERN that Jinnah is part of that and takes care of one geographical part of the world and CERN of the other.
Daniel.
I think that the issue of the next machine is very delicate for many reasons, because it is certainly must be driven by physics and should not neglect the relevance of the LHC upgrade, high luminosity, which is being launched, which will cover many years, and on which also GNR is contributing very heavily. I think an important milestone would be the CERN, the European strategy that now is being worked out at CERN. So, my opinion, a wise approach from GNR would be to be open, a little bit sit and wait, because there are many things that can change in the near future. We don't know about China, we don't know about FCC, we don't know if there will be a smaller, low-scope electron-positron machine. So in this moment, I would not make too firm statements. I would leave many options open.
Okay. Well, I think very short, because we are running out of time.
I just want to clarify the situation, because we have activity in Joint Institute and a special scientific team of future accelerators that are under my supervision. And today, after the lunch, there will be the report of this team in written form and proposal to continuation. This team includes some activities connected with ILC as well as FCC.
Okay, I think we should now thank both Nikolai and Rumen, and we proceed with the report on the Nucleotronica project by Anatoly Sidorin.
Good morning, dear PAC members, dear colleagues. I will present the results of the work of a large team in the development of the Nucleotronica project. And I will start with the results of the last Nucleotron run. A few words I will say about preparation for booster assembly, and a few words about development of the NICA project as a whole. And The nucleotron run number 55 was very important for us, and we provide very intensive preparation for this run. Here you can see statistics. Initially, the start of the run was scheduled for 5th of February, but due to technical reasons, beginning of the run was shifted by about 2 weeks, and total duration of the run was about 2,020 hours. Efficiency of the accelerator work was slightly less than in previous run, but it was related with more long tuning period, which was required to tune the accelerator for two kind of heavy ions during the run. And here, during this run, we accelerate carbon ions, argon and krypton ions. And in the brackets, I indicated intensity of the extracted beam. And magnetic field was up to 1.8 Tesla. And due to importance of this run, we provided very long preparation and very accurate preparation. First of all, more than half year we provide tuning of the ion source and injection chain. During previous runs, we realized in routine regime adiabatic capture of the beam at the platter of the magnetic field. In this run, we implemented new type of the slow extraction of the beam from the nucleotron. At the beginning of the run, we provided tuning of the ring at carbon ions using standard regular diagnostic tools. And for more heavy ions with low intensity, we developed diagnostics for low intensity beams. And also this run indicated improvement of the vacuum condition in the nucleotron. This slide I showed at the next PAC meeting. And starting from April, we provided tuning of the Creon 6T for generation of argon and krypton ions. And this source, my goal of this source to provide gold ions in 31 plus charged state, and generation of another ions also possible, but requires additional tuning. In the April, we installed last element of our injection chain, the buncher. And from June to September, we provide adjustment of this buncher with laser source. And all these measures permitted to increase intensity of heavy ions, for instance, for argon beam, by about 5 times. Concerning to adiabatic capture, it was used in routine regime during the run number 54. And we started this run also in this regime, which provide almost 70% of beam capture. And beam injection, adiabatic capture, orbit correction, beam acceleration, we adjusted at high intensity carbon beam using standard diagnostics. And here you can see a picture of the beam acceleration and extraction. For carbon ions, you can see efficiency of the adiabatic capture, low losses during beam acceleration, and good beam extraction. For more heavy ions, expected intensity was about 3 orders of magnitude less, and to provide tuning of the ring with so small intensity, was prepared a few a new diagnostic system and provided improvement of existing. And here you can see a list of diagnostic equipment using for low intensity beam. First of them is a beam profile monitor on the basis of microchannel plates. It was sufficiently improved to this run, and during total duration of the run, this monitor provided online information for Nuclotron and LU20 control rooms to provide adjustment of the acceleration period. New diagnostic was installed at the extracted beam line directly in the Nuclotron hull. The new microchannel plate monitor was used in the test operation and as a standard tool for adjustment of the slow in extraction was used scintillation hotoscope. And here you can see picture of the dynamic beam profile of the extracted beam. Also, we had diagnostics in the experimental hull. Two scintillation counters was used to tuning of the beam extraction to provide diagnostics of the beam profile and to measure of nuclear fragment spectrum during total run duration. And all the diagnostic was provided in parallel with first user without distortion of the physical experiment. And here you can see results of the beam acceleration, which is shown with ionization profile monitor. Here the acceleration of the beam, here is the slow extraction, and maybe more important result achieved in this run corresponds to low particle losses during acceleration. It means that vacuum conditions was improved by a few times from the previous run with heavy ions, not previous, when we accelerated more heaviest ion in the nucleotron. Improvement of the vacuum conditions, it is a very long story, but you can see visible progress during last 7 years. And for the moment, the nucleotron vacuum condition in the nucleotron is sufficient to accelerate by gold nuclear, as it scheduled in the NICA project, without losses. And I think we achieved best condition which can be achieved with existing vacuum chamber. What was done to improve quality of the slow extraction and what is the problem of slow extraction of low intensive beam? Here are two examples from previous run with heavy ions. And when the intensity of the ion beam is of the order 10 to the 8, existing slow extraction system provides very good quality. But if we decrease particle number by 3 orders of magnitude, microstructure of the beam is very clear on the extracted beam. What is the problem? In reality, we extract from the nucleotron one particle during 10 revolutions of the beam inside the ring. And beam at so small intensity, remember all stages of its formation. And what we did in the last run to improve this project, in the run number 54, we test new method, new for the nucleotron, new method of slow extraction with using of noise influence on the beam, and we demonstrated possibility of slow extraction using diagnostic kicker of Q-meta of the nucleotron and influence on the beam with white noise with white spectrum. And in the run number 55, we provide routine operation of combined method. I think it was done first time in the world. We provide control displacement of working point into 1/3 resonance plus stochastic influence on the beam to provide beam conditioning. And here you can see results. When we have no noise on the beam, we have such structure of the extracted beam. When the noise is on, we have very good quality. And we provided demonstration experiment. We have only a few hours for accelerator physics, and we provide demonstration experiment with 10 seconds of spill duration and quality you can see by your own eyes quality of the beam extraction. Coefficient of direct current is about 100%. I think it is best picture which can be demonstrated in the world for the moment at beam intensity 2×10⁵. And next part of my report dedicated to preparation for the booster construction. The run was completed at the beginning of the April, and practically from this period we started preparation for construction of the for assembly of the booster. For the moment, serial production of the magnets for the NICA booster is completed. All the dipole magnets for the NICA booster was successfully passed cryogenic tests and can be installed in the tunnel of the accelerator. Completion of the cold test and start installation in the tunnel of the magnets for the booster is scheduled for September of this year. There is some delay in the delivery of beam position monitors and corrector magnets, but we hope that it will not disturb our plans. What means assembly of the booster? The booster consists of two halves of the ring, separated by liquid helium, and each half of the ring consists of two quadrants. In total, we need to install 40 dipole magnets and 24 quadrupole doublets and many another elements. And detailed plan of the booster assembly is prepared, and Artem Galimov is responsible, one of our young, talented leader of the work. Was prepared detailed schedule of the assembly of the quadrants of the booster, and completion of the magnetic system assembly is scheduled for the end of this year, and after that we plan to provide technological run. What means technological? This run will be without beam acceleration. We need to test vacuum system, cryogenic system, and power supply system, and all subsystems which are responsible for safe operation of the booster. And after that, during about 3 months, we plan to prepare all other elements and provide commissioning with the beam starting from the April of the next year. It is for me it is very very ambitious plans, but I hope it will be realized. Concerning the development of the NICA project as a whole, we have very good, I will say only a few words about this, but maybe what is most important, we have common working group consisting of specialists from our institute, Butker Institute for Nuclear Physics and Moscow Institute for Theoretical and Experimental Physics, which works very in very close cooperation and in how to say for me in the regime with two meetings during 1 week, and general question of investigation improvement of the collider dynamic aperture, investigation of space charge effects in the collider, development of the control system and synchronization between all elements of the NICA facility, starting from linear accelerator, booster, nucleotron and collider, beam cooling methods, development of beam cooling methods, and I will show your photo in nucleotron control room with participation of leading specialists from all three groups. And during June of this year, 7 and 8, was provided Mission Advisory Committee meeting. NICA team presented 18 talks dedicated to all elements of the NICA facility. PAC members PAC members point out visible progress in the development of the NICA facility, but discussion was very productive, and PAC members provided a few very important for the project development remarks to our decision for different elements. For instance, for cryogenic system was proposed to replace soft Hasgolders, which are now in the baseline of our project, by more volume of welded vessel in order to provide required purity of the helium and provide automation of the compressor system. For concerning to the beam dynamics in the collider, I can point out more interesting for me maybe points. We need to presume movable beam scrapers in the collider for tuning of stochastic cooling system. We missed in our diagnostic of collider dedicated Schottky pickups. And also PAC members point out that we need to presume diagnostic kicker for investigation of nonlinear dynamics. Review of the MAC meeting now under preparation, and I think Directorate will have more detailed information, but I will stop at this point, and here a picture of first meeting, first section of the MAC meeting. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, and congratulations for this series of achievements. I have one question. You mentioned at the beginning the beam intensity that you achieved with the heavy ions. Can you just comment how does intensity compare to what is the final design intensity?
Concerning final design, now we operate heavy ion source with light ion injection chain. In principle, we plan to put into operation heavy ion injection chain, which includes new heavy ion linear accelerator and booster. And it is very complicated to compare. For the moment, we sure that vacuum condition in the nucleotron is sufficient to provide required beam acceleration without losses. The source as itself for heavy ions can provide almost design parameters. How far from design parameters for heavy ion chain we will know at the middle of the next year, I hope. But from the side of current configuration of the injection chain, I think we obtained maximum possible intensity. We decrease particle losses at all stages of acceleration. And in future, in principle, we can discuss nucleotron runs with existing injection chain, but we need to know that intensity will be such.
No, okay, I understand all that. My question was very, very simple. If I remember well on your slide number 2, you mentioned that the krypton intensity was 10 to the 5.
Yes.
So I wanted to know what is that you expect to achieve with the full chain once you have the...
With the full chain, we plan to achieve gold 31 plus 10 to the 8 during...
10 to the 8.
10 to the 8.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Hans.
Along the same line, I would like to see slide number 7. And there it looks like you lose about 25-30% after you have caught the beam. And then when you start acceleration, you drop down from 55 to 35 or 30 at the beginning. Do you understand that?
You mean this
yes.
part?
Yes.
In principle, yes, but it is not too simple to explain. We have injection at the plata of the magnetic field. We have some variation of the magnetic field at the plata. And we operate radio frequency system at very low voltage. It is specific of adiabatic capture. And in this case, we need to stabilize all the systems. And here is the quality of stabilization. But it is not so bad result. It is more or less typical for other. I think you know results from GSI. It is more or less typical. In principle, we know how to improve the situation, but I think the result is acceptable at the moment.
Any further questions or comments? Okay, so thank you very much again. And we now will hear the report from the Nucleotron Run coordinator, Evgeny Strukovsky.
Good morning, dear colleagues. my task is became much easier now after previous talk and taking into account forthcoming talks. So I will be quite brief. About duration of run, you know it was about 1,000 hours. We worked with users worked with carbon, argon, and krypton beams and. All the ions were produced by the cryon 6T source. And I would like to mention that this source in this run and before worked quite long time. And maybe more than half a year. So run was devoted mostly to data taken for the highest priority projects, SRC at BMA10, and the short-range correlations at BMA10 and BMA10 project. Of course, some works of the second priority and in parasitic mode of using of the beam was done by other users for R&D purposes. I must mention also that within the BMA10 krypton physical path, when they took data with krypton, some work, maybe about one shift, was devoted for works by laboratory for radiation biology, for radiation biology purposes. So the structure of the full time you already have seen, you see that about 600 hours were devoted to users' work, and in time it was arranged in such a way. First, users worked with carbon nuclei, and this time was given for short-range correlation project at BMA10. Here is intensity, here is field in the machine, this is field. And in the blue, you can see intensity. Then BMA10 worked with argon nuclei and with krypton nuclei. Here is a path devoted to works for radiation biology. As concerns results will be presented in the next talks by Mikhail Kapishin and Eli Pisetsky. And in total, I would like to say that users are quite satisfied by the machine work. It works quite well. Here is one simple example, intensity of the argon ions at the BMA10 place. Here is date. And this is spill by spill, typically a few units, 10 to 5, sometimes 10 to 6, at the BMA10 place. But the most important result for users is related with time structure of the beam spill. You already have heard about this, and here are some examples. This is screenshot of works with a carbon beam. This is beam spill time structure. And this was obtained with argon beam. If in order to compare what was before and can be seen somewhere else, you can see this slide. For example, this is argon in this run time spill. And this is a GSI result, which was somewhere in 2011. You can see, compare the structure. The same with our beams. This is beam from Nucleotron 5 years ago, more or less typical. And this is quite good time structure, actually. In comparison with this, you see that now it is much, much better, and users are very satisfied by this result. And finally, I would like to mention that due to planned long shutdown of the machine, no, there will be no beam maybe until the end of the next year, so we decided to shift the annual users workshop from standard time around September-October to March-April of the next year, when the situation will be much clearer and we can plan our runs more seriously. So, thank you.
Thank you very much for these illustrations and comments, questions. Okay, thank you very much again.
Thank you.
And we move now to the report on the infrastructure development by Nikolai Agapov.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, dear colleagues. The title of my talk is a report on the infrastructure developments, including the Nucleotron. This outline is almost the same as it was at the previous meeting of the committee. Today it includes development of liquid helium and liquid nitrogen plants, operation of the superconducting magnets test facility, modernization of electricity systems, upgrading of water pipelines, thermal grids, thermal lines, and construction of buildings. Let's start with the cryogenic system. As you remember, the NICA helium cryogenics will be based on the liquid helium plant that was built earlier for the Nucleotron. Our main development goal is to increase the total refrigerator capacity from 4 to 10 kilowatts at liquid helium temperature. It will be possible to do by using the new helium liquefier with capacity of 100 liters per hour. This biggest in Russia helium liquefier is already in operation. Main new cryogenic equipment of the NICA complex is shown here. Green color units are the equipment already manufactured and delivered. Blue color points the parts which will be delivered during this year. Red color indicates the facilities whose production is planned for the next year. So, we have already got the following elements. Two new helium screw compressors with capacity of 6.6 thousand normal cubic meter per hour, helium liquefier with capacity 1,000 liter per hour, four draining and oil purification units, three nitrogen turbo compressors with capacity of more than 10,000 normal cubic meter per hour each, and nitrogen liquefier with capacity of 1.3 ton per hour. During this year, we are planning to get two nitrogen recondensers with capacity of 500 kilograms per hour and a satellite helium refrigerator of 2 kilowatts for the booster synchrotron. As for the collider, two helium satellite refrigerators will, with capacity of 2 kilowatts each, must be ready next year. These pictures show how the facility for assembling and cryogenic tests of the superconducting magnets was changing for the latest few years. As you have already known, this facility officially was commissioned in November 2016. Here you can see the corrected production plan for the coming years. It includes assembling and testing of 220 magnets for the booster synchrotron, 190 magnets for the collider, and more than 300 magnets for the FAIR project. Totally, it is more than 600 elements. This facility is exploited non-stop because of a very tight schedule. As a result, by this time, all the booster dipole magnets are completely ready for assembling in the accelerator ring, and more than 20% of quadrupoles with correcting magnets for the booster have been successfully tested at liquid helium temperature. Cryogenic tests of all these units are planned to be completed in September this year. For the collider, the construction and testing of prototypes of the magnets were completed last year, and mass production of the superconducting two aperture magnets and cryostat has been started. The production of superconducting wires for magnets and bellows for cryostats is already finished. You can see here the collider dipole magnets in the cryostat on the left and a York of the quadrupole magnets right. For 600, two magnets units have been assembled and successfully tested at liquid helium temperature, and their mass production will be started in near future. Let's talk now about our lab's electric system. As you know, the capacity of present main transformer station has almost expired. For extra power, it was decided to replace the existing transformer by two more powerful one. After that, the total possible load will be increased to the required value, 40.8 megawatts. Now, the contract with joint stock company Siemens Transformer has been completed, and this equipment is kept in the storage at the producer factory. Project documentation for the reconstruction of main transformer station, so-called stage P, is now at technological expertise in licensed specialized organization. After getting a positive result, we have to design a detailed final documentation, stage R. These are the rules. So the real reconstruction is expected next year. Next page remind you is the estimated power distribution of the main transformer station after the startup of the NICO complex. The main users will be booster, collider, new compressor hall, computer cluster, beam channel of building 205, facility for assembling and test of superconducting magnets, and center of innovative development and Dubna City. For the NICO requirements, all the main internal electrical system of the lab are being upgraded now. These subsystems are marked with red color. In this slide, you can see already reconstructed substation. Substation 13 is the source of electric current of the nucleotron magnets and will be one of the two main centers of electricity for collider MPD and SPD. Substation 42 provides power supply for the test facility of superconducting magnets. And substation 11 will be used for the electron cooling system of the booster. At previous session of PAC, this picture was shown, but now I would like add some words about substation 13. The new process control system was put into operation there. This process control system was designed to provide remote control to register and accumulate the events and parameters of equipment, to block wrong actions of the personnel, to increase the speed of response to emergency situation, and so on. All these tasks have been successfully fulfilled, and we will use this experience for the other substation during the modernization. Here you can see automated operator's workplace, the mnemonic diagram, time dependencies of electric power and for electric current. Four more substations are subject to upgrade in near future. First of them, substation K, will provide power supply for beam extraction line from the nucleotron. It's being mounted now. All equipment has already been delivered from the producer factory. Start of its operation is expected this year. The biggest one is substation 21 with capacity 40 megawatts. This substation will be separated into parts, four compressors and four power supply of accelerator complex. Both parts will have independent input lines from the main transformer station. Now active work is performed at design. Startup is planned in the middle of the next year. But in addition to the task of electrical technology, power engineers have other problems. There are labs networks for various goals: thermal grids, domestic water pipelines, fire water supply, storm water, and so on. During the latest years, more than 10 kilometers of the new lines have been laid. This was necessary not only because of the new large building construction, but also because of breakdowns of the outdated existing lines. For example, 2.7 kilometers of heating trunk pipelines have been reconstructed. Forming the rings, they will guarantee reliable heating of all labs buildings. Next pictures shows other new lines. This is domestic water pipelines, fire water supply lines, storm water drain lines, domestic wastewater sewage system. 1 kilometer here. Next point of my talk is the main building that we are going to construct. There are collider building, new compressor hall, and NICA Innovation Center. For the design of NICA Innovation Center, we have entered into contract with Design Institute of Unique Construction Arena. Now the project is close to finish, and I can give you information about technical indicators of the building. Site area about 7,000 square meters. Total area of the building about 22 square meters. Total building volume 110,000 cubic meters. You can see here height of this building. The right picture below shows the layout of the building. And these pictures show how it will be looking from the outside and inside. The building has been designed for 450 workplaces, and it has such functional units as offices oriented to the outside, corridors and lobby which exit to the courtyard. There is a conference hall for 750 seats, data center and cafe. Startup of the construction is planned for the end of this year. Next building project is a new compressor station. This building is of key importance to complete the cryogenic complex for NECA. At the beginning of this year, we have entered into contract with company PSG from the Czech Republic, and the construction of the building has been started. Here you can see the timetable that attached to the contract. The end of the construction expected this year. But it is already clear that we have got the scheduled deviation of more than 3 months. Construction expert explains this by the low quality of the project documentation. Most likely, this documentation will require significant inducement during the construction. This photo shows that excavation works has been finished. But by this time, according to the timetable, we expected the completed foundation and the beginning of the construction of the walls. Now about collider building. The total number of construction workers in different months is shown by the diagram on top. The average number is 125. At the moment, such work as excavation, drainage, piling, foundation construction of the MPT and SPD buildings have been complete. As you can see here, the main activity now is reinforced concrete works. This situation has been observed already for several months. Concrete works at the collider western half rings and at the building for the electron cooling system of the collider has been fulfilled. Below right, you can see how the walls of the MPT building are growing. Next slide illustrates the status of concrete work at SPD. Reinforced concrete works at eastern half rings is shown in this picture. Totally, more than 25,000 cubic meters of concrete has already been used, including 9,000 cubic meters since the committee previous meeting. This photo was taken by means of a quadrocopter a week ago. Looking at it, easy to realize that we have done about half concrete works. It was my final picture. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much. This is now open for comments or discussion. I have some questions regarding the NECA Center. First of all, it looks a beautiful building. You didn't mention where will it be located?
Yes, I'll show you once more again.
The reason I am asking is because I remember that some time ago I heard that this will be close to the gate, but it is not clear to me whether it is after the gate, before the gate, and how...
After.
Inside the campus.
Yes.
So are there any provisions to make the access to this building easier for the users?
It will be...
Because
here.
The access now to the campus is a complicated procedure. I mean,
it will be inside of the laboratory. It's after checkpoint to the laboratory.
The question is whether there is a possibility to.
Let me comment on this issue. Indeed, we had previously some plan to have a building just on the border. To the our side, to have possibility to some users or some guests going to the building without any special passes, etc.
Right.
But after very deep investigations, all the possibilities, all the requirements of the safety system of our site, we finally took the decision to place this building inside, like it's done in almost all the world centers. You could take CERN. It's the same, all the building where the situated people are, it's inside the site of the CERN, etc. It's too complicated to put it on the border. Probably it's even impossible.
Yeah, but maybe one can consider a procedure where the users have an easier access to the building. I mean,
it's not related to the building construction. This is a system of access.
Yeah. Any other questions or comments? Okay, thank you very much again. So now we will hear the report from Vladimir Kikelidze about the first collaboration meeting of the MPD and BMATE facilities.
Dear colleagues, it will take probably 10 minutes to even less to give you the presentations on the issue related to the first collaboration meeting of MPD and BMATN experiments at NICA. What have been already mentioned by the chair of the program advisory committee. So this meeting, kickoff meeting of formation of those two collaborations took place in Dubna in the beginning of April, and all the details you could see on the site indicated here below. You could see all the reports and all the meetings in the Indigo pages. So participants, as was indicated already, more than 200 participants were actively participated in this meeting and contributed to the many reports, many discussions of this meeting. And 18 countries were presented at the beginning, and later on two more countries have been entered and expressed the interest to join this community. You could see here the countries and the number of institutions which were represented by the members of this meeting. So this is 18 countries, and then two more organizations expressed an interest from Egypt and Armenia, which they delayed. So concerning the participation organizations which expressed and already joined the collaborations, you could see here the list. This is Azerbaijan, Bulgaria, Chile, China, Czech Republic, Georgia, Germany, Israel, Kazakhstan, Mexico, Moldova, Poland, Russia, United States of America, and GNR Dubna, definitely. You could see the list which assigned to one of those two collaborations. Concerning the results of this meeting, two institutional boards were formed for both collaborations. BMATN includes 18 members representing 18 organizations, and MPD includes 27 members representing 27 organizations.
The bylaws of both collaborations, BM-10 and MPD, have been adopted and signed by these institutional boards. They're almost similar with some tiny differences in these bylaws. The institutional board proceeded to form the spokesperson search committee, and the following members were proposed: Hans Rudolf Schmidt from Tübingen, Alexander Sorin from GNR, Itzhak Tseruya from Tel Aviv, and Fuzhang Wong from Lanzhou Institute of China. All this committee, all these people are approved anonymously in an open vote by institutional boards. A search committee will select proposals and organize elections of spokesperson and IB chairpersons for both collaborations in accordance with the bylaws. Elections will take place in the next collaboration meetings, which will be held in Dubna on 29-31 October, again 3 days in this year. Next steps is preparation and signing of memorandum of understanding, and it seems more reasonable to have three lateral memorandum, including one of the collaborating institutions, the collaboration governing body, and home institutions, GNR, to each of the participating collaborations. So now I am switching on the possible resources to support the research groups from participating institutions, because to participate, institutions should have some resources to contribute, either by hardware or by just intellectual contributions. They need some resources for that. And concerning to European institutions, I would like to tell you that a conference took place in DESI just recently, 5th and 7th June, with the presence of European scientific policy officers and the Commission of the European Commissions, in to review the results of Kremlin project dedicated to establish close cooperation between European and Russian scientists within the Russian Mega Science Project. This Kremlin project will be finished, completed by September, and it was recommended to apply to Horizon 2020 with already prepared new project, Kremlin second, was a grant of around 20 million euro to support European scientists' participation in the NICA and other Russian mega science project. And according to this grant, it's already the preparatory work was done, and the most of these grants are devoted to the NICA project, to the European institutions. It's known already who and how much and in which hardware will be contributed to the NICA project. So we are just waiting this application, because it would be a very high competition, and not only for the physics, but between the physics grants, but between the other applications of the biological, medical, and other applications. So, but we hope that the success of the first project could give us some advantage or some preferences for the second stage. For German institutions, an agreement of German institution participation in the NICA project was already prepared and is waiting for approval by the BMBF in accordance with the developing roadmap of Russia and Germany scientific cooperation. This cooperation was established in the framework of this roadmap. It has been prepared already and consulted with BMBF, this agreement, which includes the participation of GSI scientists and Jülich scientists in construction of some elements of the NICA project for both accelerator and the detectors. And the amount of the contributions is the same as several tens of million of euros. And we are just waiting how it seems rather reasonable and reliable. We expect that this will be approved by BMBF after some relationship between our ministry and the BMBF. Concerning for Chinese institutions, in the framework of Russia-China scientific and technical cooperation, the second meeting of working group will take place in July in Dubna to develop and recommend a plan of Genesis Institution participation in the NICA project. This plan already agreed more or less, just we need the final decisions of this working group to push it forward for the Ministry and the Academy of Science of China to approve the contribution to the NICA project. Again, it's expected at the level $20 million. At least at this level, it's expected that it will give possibility to Chinese, 13 Chinese institutions to took some obligations to contribute to our project. To Russian institutions, it is a new program, basic properties and phase transitions in the hadronic and quark gluon matter mega science class facility NICA complex is under preparation and approval by the Russian Fund of Basic Research. It was a discussions and presentations at the bureau of this Russian Fund of Basic Research. In principle, it's agreed that they will approve such a program, and so that the Russian scientists and the groups could apply for these grants. For the 3 years, it would be many grants, not one, several grants, and to get these grants to contribute to the, to, but not hardware, probably mainly by software and the intellectual contributions, to use this grant to support students, postgraduate students, and just participants which who are going to participate in NICA project. An agreement with MEFI is developing, which includes a cooperation of NICA project realization. I would like to mention that Russian universities are getting funds from Russian government for participation in the mega science project, and these grants, so part of this grant could be devoted to the NICA project, and indeed the management of MEFI agreed to use these funds to contribute to the NICA project, to the participation in the NICA project part of this grant. For GIN member state institutions, scientific programs of cooperation between GNR and institutions of the GNR member states are now foresees participation in the collaborations carrying out researches at the NICA basic facilities with corresponding support of students and PhD students. It's included in the bylaw, in the principle of this scientific cooperation. We hope that from the next year, this scientific program could really work on the benefit of all the projects which are carried out here on the basic facilities of GNR. And finally, it's very important for us as well, for all participating institutions, a pilot program is under preparation and approval by GNR Directorate, proposing target funding of research works within the mega project NICA complex. This program aims at encouraging and supporting research proposals performed in the BMN and MPD and SPD experiments at the NICA project. This is passed already many iterations, and I hope it's at final stage to be finally tuned, and probably it will be finally approved and will be put in power. So thank you. That's all what I wanted to report.
So this is now open for any questions or comment. Antonio, please.
Okay, that's very good news. Concerning the procedure, I think it's important that you give a sort of a message of openness and transparency. For this reason, it's normal that when the collaboration is met, the collaboration decides immediately the chair of the board, and then the chair of the board set up a committee, a search committee for the spokesperson. It looks strange to me that these two things are at the same.
We did already a different way, a little bit different way.
I can understand.
I can comment on that.
But it looks strange.
Yes. It is just to save time, and actually, it is more or less the way you are saying it. The issue is that I am serving as interim chairperson of the IB board. As interim, I formed the committee, and then the interim will step down once a permanent one
then
is elected.
I will withdraw my comment. I'm okay, very happy with this solution.
Yes. Any other questions or comments for Vladimir? Okay, I think that I personally wish to congratulate the GNR management and you for all this multi-dimensional approach to try and attract the groups and providing the reasonable fundings for those groups to come and join the NICA project. So I think that this is going in a very positive direction. Thank you. So I think that we have more or less completed the first part of our program, which is the reports and updates of all kind of new activities. And now we have a well-deserved coffee break that will be, how much? 15 minutes? So we get back here at 11:30.